Here's the situation in our first reading. It's 49 AD, about 16 years after Jesus has died. And news of the resurrection and ascension is spreading like wildfire throughout the known world. An interest in Christianity is coming not only from Jewish people, but from non-Jewish people. Remember that Christianity was born out of Judaism, that Jesus himself was a Jew, and that many of the practices of Jews carried over into Christianity, but some did not. And so some questions creep up in the early church, especially from converts of other faiths, about what Jewish rules do we have to follow and what Jewish rules do we not have to follow. And in particular, in our first reading, the question of circumcision. You can guess why grown men converting to Christianity might be a little weary of this rule. And the Christians from Antioch have a debate over this. So they write James, and James is the bishop of Jerusalem, asking him, James, what do we do? And so they discuss it in Jerusalem, and they ask the advice of Peter, the first pope of the church. And so Peter sends representatives back with some ideas. He says there are some things at the end of the first reading that you have to do, and some things you don't have to do that are part of our Jewish heritage. You see, there's a process of discernment using both human means and human persons within the church, but also the Holy Spirit, how it guides the church in its discernment. Notice in our gospel today, it says, "The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything." Not just back then, but today too. This meeting of bishops in the early church was called the Council of Jerusalem, the first of 23 councils in the history of the church, the latest being the Second Vatican Council, which many of you have heard of. And so I'd like to ask you a question to ponder today in light of the first reading in the gospel. Do you think that the teachings of Jesus Christ change over time? Do you think that the teachings of Jesus Christ change over time? In your answer, consider the situation in Acts today. Jesus never specifically spoke about whether his followers should be circumcised, but he was himself. All the Jews around him were. Do the teachings of Jesus Christ change over time? The answer is no. Teachings cannot change, but they can undergo legitimate development, further understanding, and especially application in our day and age. And Jesus clearly in the scriptures gives the authority to do this to his church. What does it say in the gospel? "I will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." You see, our God is not one who says, "Okay, here's the instructions, have fun." He's with us at all times in all ages. This week, a federal judge approved the use of an emergency contraceptive called Plan B for 15-year-old girls. And many Catholics continue dissent from the church's teaching on this issue of contraception. And in many other areas of our Catholic faith, many of us still pick and choose. Stem cell research, infertility, gay marriage. Did Jesus speak on any of these issues? What did Jesus say? Nothing. So how do we know what to do? God is a faithful God, and he does not abandon his people. Now, some would argue that he gave us the Holy Spirit for each person to individually interpret what God is asking them to do. And yes, we must subjectively discern what God is asking us to do. But God gave us much more than that. He gave us a body called the church, the Catholic Church, to help us discern what is right and wrong. And it must be understood first and foremost that the Catholic Church is not unsympathetic to difficult situations. I think many of us perceive that, you know, the church just implements rules and doesn't have any concern about the person who actually has to go through the difficult circumstance. But it's also the Catholic Church that is out there on the forefront of serving the poor and the downtrodden and those in distress and in need. Is being pregnant at 15 difficult? More than difficult. Life-changing. And it's understandable that parents and young women alike would want to go to any lengths to spare that young woman from the difficulties that she will undergo. But brothers and sisters, we don't mature and we don't grow holier by ever taking away the consequences of our actions. That's very, very popular in our time. Many parents fall into this trap of thinking, well, I don't want to see my child hurt or suffer, so I'll take away the consequences of their actions. And then their child never grows up. It's hard. You can imagine how God feels about you and I. But does He let us suffer the consequences of our actions? Yes. Not because He hates us, but because He loves us. And He's there with us every step of the way, even when we're going through the growing pains. I remember when I was at St. Francis doing marriage preparation for a particular couple, I'd become very good friends with them. And when we got to the issue of contraception and natural family planning, even when it was just first brought up, the soon-to-be wife began to just bawl, just cry hysterically. And I asked her what was wrong, and I'll never forget her response. She said, "Father, I'm so scared. Scared of letting God have control instead of us feeling, thinking we have control." Even though natural family planning's been proven to be as effective as artificial means, it's not about that issue for many of us. It's about giving over control. It's about the self-denial. It's about growing in virtue. And brothers and sisters, nobody ever grew holier and nobody ever became a saint through not practicing self-denial. Look at the cross and you'll see what love is. And we could speak of many other issues that challenge Christians in the world today. Moral issues. But we have confidence because Jesus said to St. Peter, "Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He also gave to his first apostles, the first bishops of the church, what he called the power to bind and loose. That is to tie up and to untie, to determine what is right and what is wrong. And a lot of people think that there's a bunch of old guys in Rome sitting around smoking cigars, drinking Italian beer, and making up rules. And they're not. Absolutely not. They're trying to discern what the God is telling the church in our times and in our circumstances. The church is not a merely man-made institution. And this is what sets us apart as Catholics from every other church on this planet, is that we believe that Jesus Christ Himself instituted this church and has remained with it the whole time, even through the bad times. It is one, holy, universal, an apostolic church. God has given this church the authority to teach us, to help us interpret what would Jesus say in our times. We call this the magisterium. This is a term that every Catholic should know. Magisterium. It comes from the word magistrate, which is a teacher. And it is the teaching authority, the teaching ability that God has given His church. It is one of the, shall we say, three legs of a three-legged stool. Magisterium, sacred scripture, and sacred tradition. Notice what it says in the gospel today. I will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Tradition, scripture as well. And those three legs all must be there. If you take any one of them away, what happens to the stool? It falls over. This past week I had was visiting our middle school children, and two classes had the same question. They asked, where does it say in the Bible that I have to confess my sins to a priest? Now, I could quote a lot of scripture to you that very much supports that, but if you want to be technical, nowhere. Nowhere in scripture does Jesus say, you must confess your sins to a priest. Now, a lot of people would hear that and say, well, great, good news, Father. Your lines are going to get a lot shorter. But you made one of the biggest mistakes in the history of the church. It's called sola scriptura. In Latin, only scripture. Meaning, if it's not in the Bible, I'm not doing it. And brothers and sisters, that is heresy. That is not what Jesus taught. Let me ask you this. Which came first, the Bible or the church? Do you know the Bible wasn't even put together until the 400s AD? So how'd the Christians know what to believe for the first 400 years of the church? How did they determine what books went into the Bible and what didn't? How did they determine what Jesus taught about, say, the Last Supper and the Eucharist, or whether to be circumcised or not? How did they discern that? It was the magisterium. It was the church that came first, and the Bible that came later. So what bears authority in your life? You see, as Christians, we're presented throughout all ages with questions, and I can't imagine 100 years from now what the biological and scientific issues will be that challenge our faith, our morals, and our ethics. But brothers and sisters, we can be confident because it is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. That just as the first apostles got together when they had questions about what Jesus taught, so too today. The church, when it needs to discern, gets together. They pray. They ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten them, and it still happens. Jesus said, I will be with you always until the end of the age. And the Holy Spirit, as we soon will celebrate it at Pentecost, has come to guide and enlighten His church. Brothers and sisters, if we truly believe in this Catholic faith, then we don't just hold on to the things that we consider Catholic, Eucharist or coming to Mass on Sunday. But we hold on to all that Jesus not only taught, but also the teaching authority He gave His church. The question is, will we be good students?